Hello, everybody. This is Georgianne Hughes, and this is The Bite Show. We have a very special guest with us tonight, David Elves. And he has written a very important book for the understanding of the Lord. And also, we're going to talk some about the rapture and other topics. So we welcome David Elves to The Bite Show. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Georgianne. God bless you.
Well, God bless you and our listeners. What brought you to the Lord?
Well, I had a friend. First of all, I want to say that I really didn't have any desire to come to the Lord. I had a very good life. I wasn't one of those people that was just knocked down before they looked up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had what I would have called at that time a very good, very happy life. Not that it was clean, not that it was holy, you know. I was doing my own thing, and I had a good job. I made plenty of money, and I had plenty of hobbies, and had a nice house and nice cars, and I raced cars. And I built guns, and I built choppers, and I just had just a full life, you know. But I had a curiosity towards supernatural things, I guess like a lot of people do. And I had a Baptist friend that I'd known all of my life. We had hung out together. He wasn't much of a witness to me most of that time. He was pretty worldly and pretty much smoked the same kind of dope that I did and, you know, that kind of stuff. So we were very worldly. We got drunk regularly, and we just were having a good old time, you know, in the world, as sinners do. But one day he decided the Lord had dealt with him long enough, and he decided to witness to me, and he told me that about prophecies coming true in the Bible and how that they were consistently true, you know. Well, I just had a curiosity. I wouldn't say I was convicted that I needed the Lord, because I really didn't feel like I needed anything. I was kind of on top of the world, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or felt like I was. So I didn't know what I was missing, obviously, but I felt like I was on top of the world. But so he told me that, and I said, well, you know, that sounds interesting. I'd like to kind of look into that. And so I did. I picked up the Bible one day and started reading it. And I tell you, a supernatural anointing fell on me. And to tell you the truth, before this time, I don't think I had read a book all the way through in my life, but maybe one. I think I read Robinson Crusoe all the way through, and I just never had enough interest. See, I wasn't a studious person in school at all, not studious at all. I mean, I skipped out of my last 3 years of high school the best I could, and went to pool halls and bar rooms and things like that. So, I mean, I just didn't have any idea or interest in studying. But suddenly when I picked up the Bible, having no real interest in God even, I have to tell you, I was just interested in serving me, you know?
Yes.
And but I picked up the Bible, and it was the first book I never could put down. I mean, literally, everybody around me knew something was wrong. Right. To them, something was wrong, because I would, take every spare moment to read the Bible, because it just gripped me.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, nobody ever recognized a real desire for spirituality in me, you know, and because I was a pretty carnal guy. But I just couldn't put it down, and I read it day and night. I mean, I stopped long enough to eat and go to bed, and got up early in the morning so I could read it before going to work. I mean, I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and read it. And that anointing just stayed on me. In fact, it's kind of still with me. I stay busy in the Lord. I'll tell you, in the last 4 years, I haven't taken one day off in the Lord. Not one day. He is my hobby. He's my only hobby.
That's, you know, a neat serving way to put it, yeah.
You know, all the hobbies that I had when I started reading my Bible, I mean, you know, I had an awesome gun collection. My dad was a gunsmith, and he taught me how to build guns, and I built guns, and I built choppers, and I had dirt bikes, and I had race boats and ski boats and campers, and I had a shop that I made, built choppers out of, motorcycle choppers, and all that was just started to fall by the wayside, because I didn't have any time for it. Suddenly all this stuff, even projects that I was in the middle of, just stopped because I had one consuming interest, and it was to read the Word and find out about God. Now, before I picked the Bible up, I mean, I had probably a lid or two of marijuana up in the cabinet there, and I really enjoyed my marijuana, and I really enjoyed my beer, but the funny thing was, when I started reading the Bible, I forgot the stuff was up there. And after a couple of months, I got it down and flushed it, you know?
Yeah.
I just, and all my choppers and all my toys and all my hobbies just fell by the wayside. And here I was suddenly a student. Got all the books I could find to help me to research and find what I needed to find in the Bible, and I just could not put the book down. And another thing, obviously, you know, sin was just falling off of me like water off a duck's back. I tell people that all the time. There were people that entered the kingdom the same time I did, you know, but a lot of them went back. A lot of them had such struggles and problems with sin, and I knew, I discovered what the secret was. The secret is the Word of God in your heart. I mean, the devil can't do anything with it. The Word of God in your heart is nothing less than Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Well, isn't he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world?
Absolutely.
And, you know, I know that there's many people out there, David, who are married and their spouse is into pornography or into alcohol or into chasing women or whatever. And the closer you get to the Lord, the more personal that walk gets, the further away you get from that spouse. And eventually, I think the Lord removes that spouse from your life,
mm-hmm.
Being unequally yoked.
Yes, and that can very well be.
Yes.
Yeah.
That happened in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not very long ago. And so I know something of what you're talking about. It's all consuming, and that is the way it is. And so then what happened?
Well, the most important miracle to me, of course, is that as I read the Bible and I became totally impressed with it, totally impressed with the Lord, I became just so consumed with it, I didn't have time for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And things started falling by the wayside. I spent enough time in the Word. This to me was something very, very important as I look back on it, okay? I spent enough time in the Word before I went to Christians that God pretty well inoculated me from a lot of the foolishness that's out there.
Oh, and there's a lot of it out there.
Because I put the Word in my heart, you see. There came a time when I received a desire to get around Christians and fellowship with Christians. But first, I couldn't look up from the Bible. I mean, I was just in there day and night, day and night, day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord, I began to put the Bible, because I didn't have any background but Catholic. I was raised Catholic. But, of course, as soon as I was big enough to say no, I just walked away from it because I really never saw anything in it. I never saw anything in the people. I saw religion, but I wasn't impressed with it, you see. And I didn't have any of the Word because they didn't teach me the Word.
Right.
So this was a new thing when I picked the Bible up, which was a big help. See, I didn't have to overcome a lot of tradition. I had to overcome a lot of ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Catholic Church was full of ceremony,
right.
But I didn't have to overcome a lot of traditional doctrines that are supposed to be coming out of the Word. And so, to me, I was picking it up like it's a new book, wanting to find out what does God have to say. And I'll just tell you a little story about this. I remember reading a true story about three missionaries who went over into Africa, and they carried the Gospel of John over there. And this was some years back, and they carried the Gospel of John over there. And when they got over there, the Muslims ran them out of there. After they distributed the Gospel of John, it ran them out of there. And they weren't full gospel people. They were people that didn't believe in the power of God, and didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and didn't believe in these things.
No, they believe in a church. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so, these people finally found a time when they could go back after about 3 years. And they went back there, and they found a thriving church where they had distributed this gospel of John. But the thing was, it wasn't the kind of church they were expecting. It was a full gospel, spirit-filled, demon-chasing, healing the sick, tongue-talking, prophesying church.
Yeah.
And they asked these people, what happened? Well, you left us this book.
That's great.
It's the greatest thing in the world if somebody will just give you the book and take their religion and take it home, because you don't know any better. You just accept the book for what it says. You don't have people telling you this isn't true anymore and that's not true anymore. That's what happened to me, you see. I started trying out God. I when I would see these awesome promises, I says, okay, we'll just give a shot at this. Here's a good. Every opportunity I had, I would use the Word of God on it, And we began to see signs and wonders and miracles. I've had a very miraculous life. And I attribute a lot of it to this one principle, is that God started giving me the Word before I got around Christians. Because when I got around Christians, I began to see they didn't believe this book.
And they would
tell me all kinds of lies that I had disproven already as a baby Christian. I had disproven, that God doesn't do this anymore. All this passed away with the apostles. And unconditional, eternally secure and all these things. See, I knew better than that when I started fellowshipping with these people. And soon I realized they just didn't believe the book. They believed their religion, but they didn't believe the book. And I never stuck, really, in any religion. The longest one I stayed in, I think I stayed in it a year, and it was because they did believe in the power of God. They did believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They did believe in a Savior who saves in all things.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a lot of problems, too. And I began to see them, and God began to show them to me. The Lord told me, when I was a year old in the Lord, I had been prophesied to 3 times that God was going to give me word of wisdom and word of knowledge. And it happened just like that when I was a year old in the Lord. The Lord gave me word of knowledge and wisdom.
Right.
And he started speaking to me things. And wondrous miracles, revelations in the scriptures and so on and so forth. Of course, he was doing that from the beginning because I didn't have a lot of preconceived ideas. That was the greatest blessing is I didn't have these preconceived ideas, and I just went in there like I'm looking for the truth. See, if you're going in there like you already know the truth, God's not going to show you anything.
Well, true.
But if you go in there humbly looking for the truth, because you're ignorant and you desire it, the Lord says you'll be filled. And that was what was happening with me, is I would get around Christians, and they were missing out on all these things. But I wasn't. I was having them. The guy that witnessed to me, we started seeing signs and wonders, and the guy was just awed at my faith. He'd been raised in Christianity, but he hadn't been taught Christianity.
You know, what is it that Jesus tells us? If your faith is the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you'll be able to move mountains.
Absolutely.
And people don't believe that. They believe in aliens. They believe in spaceships.
And they study all that, too.
That statement is a statement of supernatural proportions.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well,
I like what Paul said, and I've used this on a lot of people. In Romans, he said, I would have you to be wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil.
Right.
I tell people, why do you study so much evil? You want to know all about the devil and everything that he does in the earth. But you won't study the one thing that will defend you against him. And that is the truth, the Word of God, the IRS people? I mean, not the IRS, the government that handles the mint and all that. What's the
Treasury?
The Treasury people. What they study, people think, they study these bogus bills so that they can figure out what's bogus and what's not. I found that that's not true. You know what they study? That you cannot study enough bogus bills to know all the methods out there. It's not possible. So what they do is they study the true bill. And when you study the true bill, you know every false bill. No matter what kind of combination shows up, you're going to know it's not the right bill. Now, Christians out there, they're just studying and getting filled with paranoia about everything. And, of course, you know, especially with the Internet, you've got no way to check it out. The only thing you can do is say, well, wait, I don't see two or three witnesses here. A witness is a witness, and the Bible says let every word be established by witnesses. Anybody can pass anything on to you on the Internet. And I can tell you 99% of it is just total paranoia. You have no idea if it's the truth. But you can pick up God's Word and you know it's the truth. At least you say you know it's the truth. So pick it up, fill your heart with the Word of God, and that is Jesus in you. He is the Word, the Bible says. And let me tell you, I don't care what error or what attack from the devil comes, he can do nothing with Jesus in you. That's the problem with most Christians, is they've got so little of Jesus because they spend so little time with him and so little time in the Word. You got to put the Word in there consistently enough till it overcomes the old man in there who's in agreement with this world. And they won't do it. It's more ear-tickling for them to sit and listen to all the latest paranoia, you know.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what, one of those words of knowledge the Lord spoke to me, he told me that he told me that spirits of paranoia were going to raise up Christians to fight against this country and that they were going to be destroyed because of it.
Mm.
And I know what's coming. We've got a civil war coming in this country.
Yeah.
Christians thinking they're by force of arms and by their own strength, they're going to take this country back. And it's not going to happen, folks. I'm going to tell you, they're going to lose that war big time. History proves it. It's always happened. It happened to the Jews. And the things that have been are the things that shall be. And the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. Exactly what happened with the Jews. When they rebelled against the beast authority in their days, they lost. They lost. When they were under Babylon, they lost. Babylon destroyed them when they rose up against them to fight. And the Lord warned them in Jeremiah not to do it, and they did it anyway. They thought, we're going to take this country back. Didn't happen. You know why? Because God turned them over to that authority because they were rebellious and they needed a crucifixion.
Hmm.
Jesus himself was destroyed by that authority, at least in his fleshly life, you know, destroyed hmm. by that authority. And God's still crucifying rebellious Christians today, and he's going to continue to do it. But I kind of got off the track here, didn't I?
That's fine.
At any rate, you know, when I'll give you one instance that happened to me, okay, that really helped me. I was, when I got delivered of the second religion, the first one was just a, you might call it a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed there about a month or two, and I decided these people don't care nothing about this book. They're just studying their own thing, you know, they don't care about this book. And it's one of the biggest religions in America that I joined there. I didn't join it. Actually, I just went to it for a couple of months. But then I realized that this other church, they at least believed in the gifts of the Spirit and things like that. And I was seeing signs and wonders of my own. And, you know, the guy that witnessed to me, he was just totally astounded at some things that were happening to me, you know. And matter of fact, I'll just back up just a little and I'll tell you a couple of them. You know, this brother, his name was Don, and Don, one day, he saw that I had a lot of faith, and it was just because I read the Bible a lot. Well, he got sick one day. He was a pharmacist, so he knew a lot about anatomy, and he knew a lot about medicine and things like that. But he was at work one day, and he doubled over. You know, he just couldn't stand up straight. He had such a pain in his stomach. And the first thing he did was run to the phone and call me. Because he knew I had a lot of faith. He could see that, and I prayed for things, and, you know, I didn't know nothing. I didn't go to Bible college, and I hadn't been churched all that much, but I'd been in the Word, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So he called me, and I commanded him to be loosed over the phone, and commanded him to be healed, so on and so forth, you know. And he just straightened right back up, you know. And one day Don decided, it was during those days when I was getting rid of everything. I was just selling off everything because I didn't have any time for it. He said, told me one day, he said, David, I want to do one thing before you get rid of your boat. I want to go water skiing with you again. I says, well, okay, we'll do that, you know. So we backed the car up to the boat. We cranked the car up, and immediately we heard a terrible noise under the hood. So we went and opened the hood, and lo and behold, the alternator was just jumping up and down. The bearings were gone, and it's in the shaft, and it was just jumping up and down. I thought, man, that's astounding, you know. And Don said, well, what are we going to do, you know? We had to travel, I don't know, 100 and something miles to go to the place we normally would go to go water skiing. He says, so I'll tell you what we're going to do, Don. We're going to put our hands on this alternator. We're going to command that alternator to be healed in the name of Jesus. And then we're going to slam the hood, and we're going to go water skiing. Well, you know, we were going out across the country there. There weren't any cities or anything. If you break down out there, you just broke down, you know. So we did that. He says, okay, you know. So we laid hands on that alternator. We commanded that alternator to be healed in the name of Jesus. And we slammed the hood with it, making all kinds of noise. And we hooked up the boat, and we took off, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
So we got just across. I lived in Baton Rouge at the time, and we got just across the Mississippi River Bridge. And all up ahead of us, it was just black. The whole sky was just totally black, you know. And Don said, you know, that's the direction we're going, and it don't look like there's any water skiing weather down there. I said, well, Don, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to command those clouds to get out of our way in the name of Jesus. So I said, you point your hand at those clouds, you point your finger at those clouds, and we're going to command them to get out of our way in Jesus' name. So we did. We just said, get out of our way in Jesus' name, you rain clouds. And, you know, we hadn't gone very far down the road, and those clouds parted right down the middle, right over the highway.
Oh, my goodness.
And
wonderful.
So we went like this a ways, and we did it again. And after we had gone down the highway for a ways, we had to turn to the right to go over to a place called Falls River. It was an old bend in the Mississippi River that had been cut off. You know, when it changed course, It just cut it off, and there was a lake there. They called it Old River, Falls River. So we had to cut over to Falls River, and there was a little town there. So we had to turn at a right angle, you know, from the highway, which would be back into the clouds. So we turned, and there was this old stormy weather facing us again. We did the same thing. In the name of Jesus, get out of the way, you know, and the clouds parted again. We went over to a little settlement there at Falls River, and we had to slow down because there was a town there. So we slowed down. Don said, hey, I don't hear any noises under that hood. He said, stop the car. I want to see this. So we stopped the car, and Don and I got out and opened the hood. And, you know, that alternator was just running just as perfect and as true, just awesome. In fact, I've told people later about this, and they said, you think God would, a brother named Willie Poe, that was a friend of mine, he said, you think God would do that for my alternator? I said, I sure do. He said, well, come on down here. We're going to pray for it. It was a Honda. We prayed for it, and God healed it. You know?
Oh, my.
So anyway, Don, that thing was just running just as true. I never did change that alternator or the bearings. Didn't ever do anything with it. It was perfect the rest of the time I had that car. So we drove on down the road. We were going to Old River. It was another old bend in the Mississippi River that had been kind of cut off, you know. So we went down there. We turned back. We had to turn back into the clouds again. We did the same thing. We got the Old River. We did the same thing because clouds were everywhere. It was just a real rainy, nasty, dark, dreary-looking day. So we had a wonderful time out there water skiing, and that was one of the last times because I got rid of my boat right after that. Didn't have time for boating. I had only time for God, you know. And So this guy saw miracles like this with me the whole time he was around me. And he just, you know, but the problem was he was full of a lot of unbelief because he'd been raised in religion. And he'd been hearing all of his life of a really poor example of Christianity. He'd been lied to by the traditions of men all of his life. And now this brother decided finally to go with me into this full gospel church because he realized that I was right, that God still does miracles, signs, and wonders. So he followed me into this particular church. And we stayed there for a while and began to get a little wiser And I realized that they had gone just as far as they wanted to go, and they'd kind of camped out right there. They weren't going any further. So what happened was I got a revelation from God on the end time. I prayed one time. These people were talking about pre- and post-tribulation rapture, you know, in the church, and there was a little disagreement over that in the church. So I went home one day, and I said, Lord, I says, I see this set of verses here seem to be saying this thing, and these set of verses over here seem to be saying that thing, and they don't seem to fit, and I know your word doesn't contradict. I'm asking you to please show me the truth here. Well, I never had realized that God could actually do this. But while I was sitting there, when the prayer got out of my mouth, God just opened my head, and he poured it in there. And I knew instantly the truth and how these verses fit together. It was just like, wow! It was so supernatural. I thought, Lord, I've never received anything like this. I'm asking you to confirm this. And here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to send a man to me that will tell me the exact same thing that you just told me. And so I left it right there. So I went to church for the next week, and I told the brethren what the Lord had showed me, and they all said, you're crazy, David. That's not possible. You know, that's not possible. But I showed them the verses, and they couldn't argue too much with the verses, and I started fitting them together for them. Because everything that the Lord has shown me for the last 34 years, he's always showed it to me in the Bible. It's not like there's a revelation that's not in his word. He's always showed them to me. He's always been able to back it up, you know, and I insist on it. Yeah. So, at any rate, a week later, after I prayed that prayer, there was a man that lived he was traveling several cities down from Baton Rouge, and the Lord told him to get on the interstate, and he got on the interstate, and he saw a sign, he saw a vision, and he saw in the vision there was this sign, and the sign said 3 miles to 3 L's. L's, like you write the letter L, mm-hmm. 3 miles to 3 L's. Well, he said, he just didn't understand it. Well, he came to Baton Rouge, he and his wife, and his wife said, let's go to church tonight. I feel like going to church. Well, you know, Baton Rouge is big Bible Belt town, you know, just churches all over the place, you know.
Yeah.
So they pulled out a phone book and decided, she said, well, I want to go to one of these churches. He said, you know, I really don't like those people. They're really narrow-minded, and they're argumentative, and they're very much pharisaical, and he had his finger on our church there, you see.
Yeah.
And it was the truth. It was the truth. So, but he perceived that his wife wanted to go there by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up coming. In the phone book, what they had seen was that we had church on Friday night. Well, the interesting thing was we never did have church on Friday night. But this Friday night, we were having church. Pretty astounding that the Lord could put something there that wasn't really there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they saw. And they ended up at the very church we were in, out of all the churches in that area, and Baton Rouge is a big town, out of all the churches in that area, they ended up at the church we were in on a Friday night, and we happened to be there. Well, the brethren took this guy aside and decided they were going to convert him to their religion. But come to find out, he had a little bit more understanding and knowledge than they did. And so they ended up going and having a Bible study in one of the brothers' houses. I saw the man there, but I didn't go bother him or anything. You know, I was just fellowshipping with the brethren. But one of these guys called me the next day and said, David, you know that thing you'd been telling us last week? I said, yeah. Said, well, you saw the man there at the meeting? I said, yeah. Well, that guy's telling us the exact same thing you told us. I said, really? I said, why don't y'all come on over to our house and we'll have a little fellowship and talk about it, you know? So he showed up at our house with these brethren, and I met him. And Don, the guy that he witnessed to me, was there. Well, this guy started telling me the story of the end time and how the pre and the post fits together and what the actual truth is about it. And it was exactly what the Lord had told me and exactly what I'd told the brethren. Not only that, Don had went back when he was a Baptist, had been driving along one day, and he heard a preacher talking about the Holy Spirit, and he said, well, Lord, if that's for me, I really want it, you know. And so the Lord filled him right there in the car with the Holy Spirit. And After that, he got a vision. He saw himself sitting in front of a man that was telling him all about the rapture.
Uh-huh.
And in the vision, Don said, "Lord, I know all about the rapture. I'm a Baptist."
Yeah.
You know, God's got a sense of humor,
yeah.
You know. So, at any rate, the man he was sitting in front of in his vision was this man, the same man dressed the same way. And here it was several years later.
Oh, my.
And when he walked in the room, he saw this man, and the Lord said, "There he is. Now sit down and listen." So he basically was better at sharing the revelation that I had gotten a week before, and he put the revelation out there. But it was exactly what I was teaching, you see, what I was seeing and what the Lord had shown me. So when he came in the door, he said, I told him my name, Eels, and a lot of people pronounce it Els, you see. My name is Eels, but a lot of people pronounce it. He said, "You're the man. You're the one I'm supposed to see." He said, "Let me tell you about this sign I saw. It was 3 miles to 3 L's. Well, there were three of us there, myself, my wife, and my oldest daughter at that time.
Oh, my goodness.
See? And the 3 miles was how far it was from us to the interstate. He passed right by us on the interstate.
Well, go ahead.
So anyway, God confirmed the revelation of the end time that he started out giving me there. And he confirmed a lot of them after that, because for the last 34 years he's been doing that to me. Just, I'll be reading along and God will just pop up a revelation in my head, you know, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he always shows me in the scriptures how it fits. And I've become pretty convinced of this gift by now, and he's used it a lot. And he's told me some things that I know he has saved up for these latter days to convert a lot of people from their traditions, because the Lord has helped me to show people through their traditions. And I still have that great love for the Word of God. And, I mean, I respect it totally. I don't respect anything men have to say, and I don't study men's books. I mean, the people try to push books at me all the time. This book's good, this one's good, this one's good. And I don't have, you know, I've got a couple of books. I've got three of them, as a matter of fact. But if you go and look at them, they're just totally full of the Word of God. You've probably never seen that many verses in a book before. But because I don't think we really have to teach anything that God hadn't already taught, and I think he's already done a pretty good job. Sometimes we just need to put the verses together so that people can see them in one place so they can understand, you know, and because the Bible says the sum of thy words is truth.
Right.
And the problem with religion is they don't want to accept the sum of thy words. They want to pick and choose what verses that they like.
That's right. Don't you think, too, David, that we are in the last days? You know, and there are so many people going around believing that they're going to be just raptured right out of here and not have to experience any of the things that are going to happen. And I sort of stand on the fact that God is no respecter of persons.
No, and he's not schizophrenic either.
Right.
What he's done before, he's going to do now. He's the one that said through Solomon, the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Meaning, God, you know, the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed. People listen to a lot of prophecies nowadays, but I'm going to tell you one of them that is sure, and that is the history of the Bible. Since God says it always repeats, all you've got to do is look back in the Word and find out where it happened then, and you know it's going to happen again, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. Many prophecies in this book have many more than one fulfillment, and people don't understand that.
Yeah.
They're fulfilled throughout history, sometimes in physical ways, and then sometimes later in spiritual ways they're fulfilled, but they're fulfilled with larger and larger groups of people as we draw nearer and nearer to the end. The same thing happens with larger and larger groups of people.
Would I be wrong in thinking that where we are on that timeline is what was going on in the pre-flood world before the Lord said, that's enough.
Absolutely. I'm totally, absolutely convinced of that. As it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We are coming to the days of Noah. People don't know what the days of Noah are. They think it's the 120 years that God spoke about in the previous chapter, not in the chapter he spoke about the days of Noah. But when you talk about the days of Noah, God told them after 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I maybe probably shouldn't get into that right now, because if I get into that, I need to go lay a lot of foundation. I'll tell you what the Lord did show me. The Lord showed me something a lot of people they don't think is possible. And that is, the Lord showed me exactly to the day when the rapture and the resurrection of the dead is going to come in relation to the tribulation period. You say, David, no man knoweth the day or the hour. Knoweth is present tense. It's not future tense. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And we already have two people in the Bible that knew exactly 7 days before the Lord came and took them. Okay? And when we get around to sharing on this, and I get to share enough foundation, see, here's what the Lord taught me. He taught me that when you're dealing with the traditions of men, you've got to overcome it by floods of Scripture. Just floods of Scripture. It's got to be destroyed. That false doctrine that's keeping God's people captive has got to be destroyed. I just did a tour. Well, I just did several tours or conferences with the Prophecy Club. And they sent me throughout the country, and they thought, wow, this guy's really able to share the word where people can understand it, and they were very happy about that. So they they tried to get up a debate between Tim LaHaye, Jerry Jenkins, and myself. You know them, their book Left Behind, and their series of Left Behind false mm-hmm. doctrines and false revelations, and pretty poor stuff, frankly.
Well, you know, there have been people that have done some pretty deep research on that, and that Left Behind thing is connected with some PSYOPs people that have every intention of making the Christians believe in things that aren't true.
Well, of course, anytime a man tells you that the mark of the Lord will overcome the mark of the beast, he's just inviting you, or he's taking away any fear of taking the mark of the beast.
Right.
Well, it's an absolute lie, you know.
Yes.
The mark of the Lord, if a person takes the mark of the beast, it's because they don't have the mark of the Lord. Even if they're going to church, they do not have the renewed mind of the Spirit or the renewed works of the Spirit, which is the forehead and the hand that the Bible speaks about, calling the mark of the Lord. They don't have it. That's why they take the mark of the beast. You know, people, multitudes of what we now call Christians are going to take the mark of the beast because history proves it. 10 out of 12 tribes worshipped the image of the beast that they call the golden calf.
Okay. Real plain language for everybody. In the time frame that we're in and what's to come, explain exactly what that mark of the beast is.
Well,
because people think, you know, it's just a chip in their hand.
That would be a big mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that it is false. I mean, America, by the way, folks, America is the one that designed that chip.
Right.
Okay. You think that America is the greatest nation on earth and it's a godly nation, a Christian nation, that's pure baloney, folks. I mean, you don't know what America is going to do. God has shown me what America is going to do. America is going to, along with all the other nations, persecute the saints and kill the saints. This I guarantee you. And when we get time, we'll look at it from the Bible, you know. But we're God's people who are in idolatry with America, don't understand that the mark of the beast is given to the people who are members of the body of the beast. What the Lord showed me is there's two marks of the beast. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The mark of the beast is to have the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. For these, you can't be saved. With these, you will not be saved. Okay? If we walk after the flesh, we must die, the Bible says. Okay? A person is a member of the corporate body of the world beast, because it is that way if you read 1 John chapter 4. Everyone whose spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ is, not has, is come in the flesh, is the spirit of the Antichrist. Everyone. The Antichrist he's speaking of there is a corporate body of all lost mankind in whom Jesus does not live. Go back and read it. You will see it plainly. Okay? So there is a body of Antichrist. You know that beast in Revelation? It had a body of seven heads and ten horns. It tells you what the seven heads and ten horns are. It's not an individual. That beast that God is showing us is a parable. It's not an individual there. Okay? So there's two bodies on this earth. One's going to be taken and one's going to be left. It's the body of Christ and the body of Antichrist. You either have in you the spirit of Christ, or you have in you the spirit of Antichrist from the pit. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, when we first come to Christ, the spiritual mark of the beast is one for which there's a cure. We come to Christ with the mind of the flesh. We come to him with the works of the flesh, the hand, you know, because in Revelation 13 and 16 talks about the mark of the beast in the hand and the forehead, and Exodus 13 and 16 talks about the mark of the Lord in the hand and the forehead, except there he talks about how that he taught the Jews to put scriptures in these little boxes, and they would tie them across the back of their hand and across their forehead between their eyes. What do you think the scriptures on the back of your hand and on your forehead represents? It represents the renewed mind of Christ. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it represents the renewed works of Christ. Your hand represents works in the scriptures, you see.
Right.
Well, it's the same with Antichrist. The mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh represent or identify a person who is a member of the body of Antichrist, one in whom the spirit of Antichrist lives. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, let me point out something to you. Everyone who has, in the latter days, when God is coming to the time when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and he starts turning back to the Jews, so on and so forth, when the time of grace is running out, everyone who has the spiritual mark of the beast is going to take the physical mark of the beast. It doesn't matter who you are. It don't matter if you're a Baptist. It don't matter if you're a Catholic. It don't matter if you are a full gospel person. It makes no difference. If you're walking after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, and you don't want to go into that wilderness experience that the Bible tells you is coming, and you've made up all kinds of doctrines to insulate yourself from any fear of what might be coming upon the world, and they tell you take this mark or you won't be able to buy and sell with the world anymore, and since you don't have any faith, you're not going out in that wilderness to where you have to trust God, and you know what? You're going to take the mark. If you're walking after the mind of the flesh and the work of the flesh, you're going to take the mark, because God is seeing to it that a physical mark identifies those who have the spiritual mark, which identifies those who belong to the body of the beast. They are members of the Antichrist. It makes no difference that you're going to church. It makes no difference what religion you belong to. If you're not a believer, which is what the wilderness is all about, folks, if you're not a believer, then you're a non-believer. I don't care what kind of tag you hang on yourself or what kind of experience you had in the past. It makes no difference.
Yes.
You could have gone to an altar and accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, all of which is not even in the Bible. Did you ever find that quote in the Bible? There's no such thing. The Bible demands that you repent and believe.
That's right.
Repent means change your mind when you read this book and believe what I tell you to believe. That's what God is saying.
Are you my child?
And you can accept Jesus all you want, folks. But he don't accept you unless you repent and believe. Read the book again. He doesn't accept you. Accepting him while you live on in your sins, you're just a member of the beast that's come into the temple of God. That's all you are. That's all you are. And in the latter days, that's going to be proven. Okay. Well, how'd I get off on that?
Well, that was excellent. Absolutely. And it's true.
Well, I would love to share these things more explicitly with you with a lot of verses. As a matter of fact, maybe we can get to do that in these teachings that we were talking about,
yeah.
George Ann, we were talking about. Very explicit. You know what the Lord taught me? He taught me, I started to say this a while ago, when people have a lot of tradition and they're singing men and they're not going to look for themselves, what you have to do is overwhelm them with a lot of proof because it's really strong. The traditions of men in heart are really strong. They respect these men that taught them, and they don't understand that these people are liars, just like they were in Jesus' day.
You know, that, absolutely true. And there's this part in the Bible where, you know, it talks about the mark of the beast. And I have mentioned in numerous other audio files that I've done, other shows, you know, the mark of the beast versus the seal of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're sealed, Zeph Daniel talks about this. He had horrible things happen to him as a young man, but it didn't take because he belonged to God.
Yes.
And I think that there are men and women on this earth that their names are in the Book of Life, and I don't care what you do to them, they belong to God, and that's where they're going to stay.
That's right. They'll recognize the truth when they see it.
Yes.
They have a desire to follow after the Lord.
Yes.
He's giving them grace because they believe in Him. They trust in Him to save them. You know, it's not by works, folks. The Lord already saved us, delivered us, healed us. You know, everything has been provided at the cross. But for those that believe, it will be manifested. And for those that don't, they just get to go to church.
Yeah, that's a very, well, oh, how well put. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, absolutely true. You know, and I just have this thing about how people, just millions and millions, are deceived by these churches. And it's all on, you know, keeping their coffers full.
Absolutely.
You know, telling people what they want to hear emotionally, you know, to satisfy that in people, and they'll pay up.
Absolutely.
But so wrong.
Since these people don't walk by faith and they don't obey what Jesus commanded them, He said, get you no gold or silver in your purses, and freely you have received, freely give. It's to them. Since they don't walk by faith, see, Jesus determined that the ministers that He sent out all walked by faith. He demanded it.
Mm-hmm.
He sent them out without their own supply so that when they went out, they would have to believe God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? When they went out, they didn't condemn the people into giving to them. You can't even find one verse where they did such a thing.
Right.
Or brought them under the law to give to them because they didn't have any faith.
Well, see, so many people, David, you know, and men have said this to me, well, how can I do this? You know, I have a family to feed. I've got to have this job and the insurance. And I say, yeah, take your kids to the doctors for vaccines. Sure. You know, I mean, to me, that's satanic.
Well, of course. Anytime, Jeremiah 17:5, if you put your trust in the arm of the flesh, you are cursed.
Right.
There's no way out of it. The Lord Jesus Christ already healed you at the cross. He already gave you every vaccine you need if you believe that word. He said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. I've had people come to our meetings before and tell me, I've had them call me up and say, David, my child's got, you know, this or that, you know, got measles, got mumps, you know, got this, got that. He says, I guess I probably better not come today. I says, you just come. I says, nobody over here is going to catch that. And you know what? They never, ever, ever have.
Yeah.
Never. I, over the years, every time anybody's told me that. I says, in fact, I laid hands on a man the other day. He had some kind of a skin disease. He said, no, don't touch me. I says, that stuff can't touch me. That stuff can't. You don't know what this book says. You know, that stuff can't touch me. So I commanded him to be healed in the name of Jesus. Put my hands on him, you know. But you know what? If you know who you are and you know what God has said and you believe what God has said, guess what, folks? You're going to be an overcomer in this world.
That's
the
right.
Devil can't touch you. Oh, I'm not saying he can't try you and that you won't have some symptoms sometimes, but if you know who you are, they ain't going to last long.
That's the point. If you know who you are, if you know who your Father is.
That's right.
That's right.
And he tells us who we are. Not by manifestation, by faith. We are sons of the living God. We are created in the image of Jesus Christ. God is in this process of doing this, but if you don't ever walk as he walked, you can't possibly be in the process.
Right.
You know,
right.
In the process, we are, if we say we abide in him, the Bible says in 1 John, let us walk as he walked. And also, he said in 1 John 2, he said, if that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son and in the Father. If that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Listen, folks, I don't care what your church says. If they depart from this word which was given us in the beginning, then they're not abiding in the Son and they're not causing you to abide in the Son. Abiding in the Son is a place of great safety, great provision, the secret place of the Most High. 1,000 can fall at your left and 10,000 at your right. It won't even come nigh you. Listen, abiding in the Son is abiding in the true Word of God. Don't you read that Word of God and come up with your own theology? Keep your mouth shut and get away from those men. Can I tell you what Jesus told me about the religion today and the religion in his day? There's no difference. The same people are ruling over it.
Oh, boy. Amen.
He told me, listen to what he told me. He said, everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was happening again in these coming days, except the cast of characters has been multiplied many times over.
Yes.
You read in the book of Revelation, you see that man-child over there in the book of Revelation. Everybody says that's Jesus. You know it's not Jesus? Oh, it's Jesus, all right. It's Jesus in a body of people that have come to maturity as sons of God because Jesus lives in them. The Word lives in them. And you know what this man-child in Revelation chapter 12 is going to meet? The same bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees that Jesus met. History just continues to repeat. Do you know that the people that are going to fight against the greatest move of God the world has ever seen are those religions that you're so proud of and their leaders? They're a bunch of apostates. They're a bunch of liars. They are the Pharisees and Sadducees that the Lord told me was going to rule over so-called Christianity in these days, just exactly like they did in his day. Listen to me now. I'm going to tell you the truth because many of you are going to be deceived if you don't understand this. God's not going to depart from this word. He said he was going to judge you by this word. These people are doing it. They got their prosperity gospel. They are they are at the top of the food chain, and they're devouring you. And by the way, they don't really want to see Jesus come very soon because they're, like I said, they're at the top of the food chain. They've got everything they want. You cannot trust them. You can't trust their doctrine. They make a doctrine that makes them feel comfortable.
Yes.
And if you're walking in the flesh, it'll make you feel comfortable. So repent and get into this word and read it like you've never read it before, like it's a brand new book. Pick it up and read it because this is what's going to defend you in the days to come. The Pharisees, and see, Jesus came to call a church out. The word church means the called out ones. Who did he call out? He called those disciples out of apostate Judaism to follow him. Now, those disciples were caught up in the denominations of apostate Judaism of their day, ruled by these Pharisees and Sadducees that they thought were great men of God. Okay? But what Jesus told me is when the man-child comes, he's going to have the same ministry as he's got, and he's going to meet with the same people that are ruling over apostate Christianity at this time. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 that everything that happened to them is happening to us. In fact, they're a type and a shadow for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Just as Jews fell away through the traditions of men, so Christianity fell away through the traditions of men. And guess who's ruling Christianity today when the man-child shows up? Jesus was the man-child in his day. When the man-child shows up and starts preaching the truth, these people are going to make war on him, and they're going to make war on the disciples. Everything that happened in Jesus' day is going to happen in our day, folks. You are still the ecclesia, which means the called out ones. Remember who the called out ones were in Jesus' day? He was calling them out of the covenant that God gave to Israel because they were total apostates. He called them out. They were called the church because they came out. Okay. Today, everybody wants to be called the church, but they're not coming out. Ecclesia means the called out ones. If you don't come out, you are not the church. You are deceived. You're in a Babylonish substitute. The Lord told me one time, he said, religion is like a playpen. It's meant to be outgrown and crawled over the bars and get out.
Yeah.
That's what he told me. So I hope anybody out there, if you're hung up and really proud of some dead denominational religion or non-denominational denominational religion, that you will read this Bible enough to see that that is not something of God. Jesus said, I pray, Father, that they may be one as we are one. You know the Lord is bringing people together, but it's not by sectarianism. It's not by denominationalism. It's not by being proud of men. It's by submitting to the Word of God. We've got some great days coming, folks. This is going to be a great revival, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of Christians are going to miss out on it because they're worshiping the golden calf.
Yeah, that's true.
Just like Israel when they went out in the wilderness. This is our God. This is our Elohim. They call that golden calf. Elohim.
Oh,
gee. They put the right name on the wrong idol here.
Yeah.
And you know what? Israel did the same thing later. They worshiped 10 out of 12 tribes worshiped the image of the beast. They didn't have the true temple of God, which was in Jerusalem. Folks, it's that way today. That's a type and a shadow for the church. 10 out of 12 tribes are worshiping an image of the beast, an antichrist image. And we've got to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord.
Who is the abomination that stands in the holy place?
Well, I think I need to give more foundation. I would like to give more foundation before answering that because the answer is so shocking because everybody's heard the letter and they're really overcome by the letter. But there is a real revelation. Everybody thinks that's just something that's going to happen over there in Israel. But like I said, everything that happens to Israel happens to the church, folks. And who is the temple of God in the New Testament? Yeah, well, let me tell you who's in that temple right now. Sons of perdition are in there right now.
Yes.
Just like it was in Jesus' day. Remember Judas, the son of perdition? He was in the temple of God, which was the people of God, according to Jesus. Not some building, the people of God. The people of God have a son of perdition in the midst right now, and he's got to come out. And what God is bringing the church through tribulation for is to cause that to happen, and it will happen. God is going to have a holy people, a powerful people, who walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. They believe this word, but it's going to take wilderness to do that. It's going to take the tribulation to do that. Those Israelites didn't jump over that wilderness and go straight to the promised land.
That's right.
They had to go through it, and you will too. I don't care how many lies you've heard. It's not going to happen. It never happened before in all of history. It's not going to happen now. Remember, the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Go back and look in the Bible. God's already given types and shadows of what's going to happen in these days. You just have to look at them and believe them for yourself. You see, they say, we're not going to be here when the beast kingdom is here. Look, folks, God's already had six beast kingdoms in the world. All of them just happened to have conquered God's people. And not once did God's people ever escape the beast. Now you're telling us we're going to escape the beast. We're not going to see the Antichrist. No, folks, that's never happened in history. Six world-ruling kingdoms conquered little bitty Israel that you could throw a rock across.
Yeah.
What made them so important that world-ruling kingdoms would have to come and conquer them? It was their rebellious state. They had apostatized. They turned away from the Word of God, and God brought a crucifixion to them. He raised up a beast kingdom for the express purpose of bringing them to their cross so that they would turn back to Him.
You know, now, I kind of like to think of it as the time of the winnowing of souls.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now that Israel is much bigger, God is raising up a true worldwide kingdom to persecute the saints and make war on the saints, just exactly like the Bible tells us, folks. You know, what's happening is it's going to be Christ against Antichrist.
Right.
And I think the only thing you can think of when a man says Antichrist is some man. But remember, Jesus is a man, and he's in the earth right now. He's a corporate man. You are one man in Christ Jesus. And Antichrist, according to the definition in 1 John 2 and 1 John 4, is everyone whose spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in their own flesh. That's what it's talking about. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. So, you understand, we've got two men in the earth, just exactly like Jesus said. When Jesus said there are two men in the earth, he meant what he said. There are two men in the earth. And you know what? There's going to be a war. See, just as we're coming to maturity, we who believe the Word of God, not necessarily we who call ourselves Christians, just as we're coming to maturity, the world is also. Their Antichrist is coming to maturity at the same time Christ is coming to maturity. And they're total opposites. The world is going to hate what they see in Christianity with a rabid fervor. And the more Christians actually become Christian, the angrier the world's going to get. Jesus said, "You will be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Why did he say that? See, God wants to manifest his name in us. And there's only one way it's going to happen. We have an affinity for the world. So God's going to turn the world against us. That's how he did Israel. He said he turned all her lovers against her. She had an affinity. Yeah. She was a harlot because she was receiving the seed of the world rather than the seed of the kingdom. And what God did to Sahar, I'll tell you how I can fix that. So he just turned their lovers against them. Mm-hmm. Well, same thing's going to happen in these days. Some of you out there pledge allegiance to America and you bow down to America. God's got a solution. America's going to hate you. They're going to persecute you, and you're going to see it very soon. And when this happens, then you're going to realize that your kingdom is not of this world, just like Jesus said. My kingdom is not of this world. See? We are one holy nation, Peter said. You know that all we who abide in Christ, we are one holy nation. Has nothing to do with geography. If you're proud of a geographic nation, guess what? You're worshiping the beast and you don't know it. You pledge allegiance to that flag, where, anywhere in the Scripture. People died not to do such a thing.
Right.
Christians in past time have died not to do such an evil thing, pledge allegiance to some carnal, wicked nation like this. And today, Christians do it proudly. They've got the kind of Hitler Christianity, you know, in their heart, and they don't really realize it.
Yeah.
You know how many Christians supported Hitler? He was a beast in his day. He was the head of the body of the beast in his day.
Yeah.
And they supported him. Because why? Because of nationalism, you see, and because of patriotism. Can you imagine that Christians usually side with the nations that they live in? How can that be? Because they've got Christians in other nations. Shouldn't they side with the Christians? Since we are one nation together, one holy nation, shouldn't Christians side with Christians against the world instead of siding with the world against Christians?
Good point.
This is what happens, folks.
Yeah.
The Christians don't even know their own kingdom. God is going to turn the whole world against us so that we realize who our brothers and sisters are. God is going to do this for his namesake. You know why? The word name means nature, character, and authority. Do you really have the name of Christ? Well, if so, you will walk in his nature, character, and authority. God is going to turn the world against Christianity in order to manifest his name in his people. That's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us. And it's not going to happen any other way. Too many God and country Christians are out there dialing down with patriotism. You know, patriotism has killed almost as many people as religion has. You know that? Every country's, you know, they're patriotic in every other country, too. You know that? They're patriotic for the country. They worship the image of the beast, and they don't know it.
I think if all the Christians who are truly Christian, who truly walk that personal walk with our Lord and Savior, if they all lived in one place, David, it would just vanish. He wouldn't even be here.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm not even advocating that, but, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're here to be salt, you know,
yeah.
to the world. We're here to have an effect on the world, but when we worship the world itself and we align ourselves with the world itself, we're not a witness for Christ anymore.
Yeah.
And the salt has lost its flavor. That's why it's going to be trampled under the feet of men. That's what Jesus said. And the salt has lost its flavor. It's not preservative anymore. It's not saving the world anymore, you see.
Why did Jesus say, you know, what is it, sell your cloak and buy a sword or something to that effect in the Gospels?
Well, it said that he might be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said he was numbered among the transgressors. The transgressors take the sword. And, see, there was a scripture there that had to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
When they took the sword, they were then transgressors. If you don't believe that, just read everything else that the New Testament has to say about it. Right? You know, Revelation 13, it says, for instance, and all that dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life. Let's see, verse 10. If any man is for captivity, into captivity he goeth. If any man killeth with the sword must he be killed.
And that would apply to guns.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, Christians have got no business warring with flesh and blood. We war with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We are forbidden to wrestle with man. We're forbidden to make war with man. Our warfare is not a physical warfare. It's a spiritual warfare.
That's right.
Jesus rebuked Peter when he took up the sword. Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels? Look, folks, one angel killed 185,000 men. What are you going to do with a puny gun? You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Listen, that same Jesus lives in the earth today. He's in the people in whom the Word lives. They have authority. They have power. They're not afraid of this world. They're running things, as a matter of fact. You know? Jesus said, resist not him that is evil. But he said, resist the devil. When
yeah.
he's talking about resisting not him that is evil, he's talking about mankind. Resist not him. Doesn't that put us kind of in a position of weakness? Of course. But God's power is made perfect in weakness. If you don't do it your way, God will defend you. If you do it your way, you take up the gun, you take up the sword, he's not going to defend you. You got to defend yourself then.
Yeah, you lose any supernatural protection.
Absolutely. The power, his power is made perfect in our weakness. If we trust in him and not the arm of the flesh, he will be there.
You know,
he said, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Turn the other cheek. How many Christians, so-called, are pushing George Bush to go over there and massacre Muslims?
Yeah.
Listen, that's not our job, folks. There's lots of people in America that could do that, okay? But we can't do that. Our job is to share the gospel with these people. Let me tell you something. A Muslim who hears the gospel and as a gift from God and comes to God, they're as good a Christian. In fact, in many cases, they're better Christians than a lot of lukewarm people that have been soaked in traditions of men all their lives.
I agree with you.
We've had people come into our Pal Talk room, Muslims that converted, and told us what they were going to have to pay, which was their life, for coming to Jesus Christ. They said they would be killed for it.
Sure.
And they happily did it. You know what? When Christianity costs something again, the only Christians will be real Christians. Right now, it's even popular for a lot of people to be Christians. So they can go into church. It doesn't cost them anything. They don't have to lose their life, like Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're here to lose our life. You have to lay down your old life, your carnal life.
Well, you know, this meat body that we're in, I mean, you know, how many times have you taken a roast or a steak? You know, it's just a piece of meat. And the only thing in it that's worth anything is our soul.
Absolutely. Christ in you is the spiritual man, not the carnal man.
That's right.
That old man has to die. And like I was saying, when Christianity costs people, the only people that are going to hang around are the true disciples of Christ. The rest of them are going to flee. And let me tell you, there's coming a great separation between the carnals and the spirituals. God's going to see to it, because persecution is coming. What does it do? It always separates the wheat from the tares. Always. Because you know what? These people, their Christianity is skin deep. And when they get tried, they'll go right back out in the world. They'll go back and fellowship with their real brothers and sisters who are the wicked. They are members of the body. They are sons of perdition in the midst of the body of Christ, just like Judas was called, the son of perdition. Where was he? In the temple of God. And what happened when the falling away came? He was revealed. You know what? There's a great falling away, folks. The mark of the beast is coming. God designed it, not the devil. God designed the mark of the beast. It's his way of separating the wheat from the tares. It's his way of forcing his people into the wilderness.
Right.
Because if you can't buy and sell with the world anymore, it's just like Israel when they walked out of Egypt. They walked out into that wilderness, and guess what? They had to learn to walk by faith. The righteous shall live from faith. The wicked Christians, you know what they're going to refuse to do? They're going to refuse to walk out in that wilderness. They want to buy and sell with the world. They'll justify it. They'll say, well, this can't be the mark of the beast because we weren't raptured.
Yeah, right.
This can't be the mark of the beast because our ideal Antichrist hadn't shown up.
Yeah.
Well, all the time, all of these things are happening all around them, and it is the mark of the beast, and they're going to be reprobated. And they're told by people like Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins that that's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. The mark of God overcomes the mark of the beast.
Yeah, you have to do what you have to do to survive.
Yeah, this is not the Antichrist.
Yeah.
This is not the Antichrist. This this is not the tribulation because we haven't been raptured yet. So surely this is not the mark of the beast. Go ahead and take it. They're going to lead multitudes to take it. Multitudes to take it. And you know what? God's going to separate the wheat from the tares.
Sure.
And he's going to bundle the tares together to burn them. And the wheat is going to shine forth in the kingdom of the Father, just like the Bible says, you know. But you know what we're talking about here, don't you? We're talking about the majority of Christianity falling away. The Bible says the great falling away has to come first, and the son of perdition has to come out of the temple. It's going to happen, folks. I'm not talking about any physical happening here. I'm just trying to point out to you a spiritual happening that God told me was going to happen in the church. And a lot of people are never even going to recognize it. But you see, it was like when Jesus came. Jesus came, he was the Messiah. He was standing in their midst. And all the time they were looking for the coming of their Messiah. They couldn't recognize him because they had nothing but carnal eyes and carnal ears. They didn't have the eyes and ears that Jesus fed, you see.
Right.
And so they're looking for their Messiah, and he's right there in the midst. What do you think is going to happen in our day when the same people are looking for their Messiah, and the man-child, who is the first fruits to come in the image of Jesus Christ by his grace with the latter rain, is going to be standing in their midst. And the Antichrist is going to be all around them. What do you think they're going to do? Since they only have carnal eyes, they're going to take the mark of the beast. It's the easiest road to take. They're going to worship the image of the beast. It's the easiest road to take. And they'll justify it. Because they've justified themselves all their lives, all their spiritual lives. They've justified not obeying the Word of God all their lives. And, of course, they don't have to obey anyway because they're unconditionally secure. Let me tell you, folks, there's a major part of Christianity that believes that lie. And you know what? They're going to take the mark of the beast without compunction. It's not going to bother them a bit. It's not going to convict them a bit because they know they can't be lost. So they're going to take it. Even though God said in Revelation 14, that they'd be tormented in the presence of the holy angels forever and ever.
You know, that explains why there will be so few. The remnant is so tiny.
History proves it. The image of the beast was set up in Daniel chapter 3.
Right.
And God's people were told, bow down and worship the image of the beast. And as far as we can tell, only three of them didn't. The rest of them all bowed down to the image of the beast. And that's history, folks. That's a revelation of the end time. In fact, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord has told you what's going to happen in the latter days. And you think that's only a historic revelation, but it's also an end time revelation. See, God's got God's so big, he can make one revelation work in two ways. See, that's an end-time revelation. You know what the image of the beast was that they were worshiping? It was all nations of lost mankind. All of them. And it was on the scope of it was 60 and 6. Did you ever notice that?
Oh, my goodness.
That was the image of the beast. He showed it to you right there in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 3. All world-ruling nations with the people under them made up the image of the beast. Folks, that's what's coming. You think some statue is going to be set up in some field somewhere, but I got news for you. See, we are coming into the image of Jesus Christ, but the whole world is coming into the image of Antichrist.
Right.
The whole world is the image of the beast. Just like we are the image of Jesus Christ, the whole world, even the lost Christians, are in the image of Antichrist. They belong to that body. By their very nature, they belong to that body. Mm-hmm. And while you're listening to these preachers who are Antichrist themselves, while you're listening to them, they are sowing that seed in your heart. And you're not soaking up this Word of God. You know, depart from those dead places that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Depart from them. If you can't do anything else, you go home. Sit down and read your New Testament again and read it through and believe what it says. Let me tell you something. You're going to get fed better there than you've ever been fed in your life.
Yes, that's true.
The Holy Spirit, you say, well, David, that's not what the Bible teaches us to do. Forsake the assembling together. But they weren't talking about assembling together with a bunch of apostates.
That's right.
That's not what God's talking about. He said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And he said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Yeah, if you want a fellowship, you fellowship with people that believe the Word of God, that are seeking after the truth. No, they're not perfect, but they're seeking after the truth. They love the Word of God, and they're not pushing any dead religion. Let me tell you, every denomination all through the Bible was wrong every time. Did you know that?
Yes.
All the religions of men have been wrong every time. And any time you find God's people, a majority of God's people believing anything in the Bible, they were wrong every time. So if the multitudes believe it and it's popular, forget it. It's a lie. Forget it. It's always been so. History repeats. It's a lie. You're looking for the little flock.
That's right.
The little flock. That's what the Bible calls them, you know. You're looking for that group of people that are a remnant, not the whole body of apostate Christianity. That remnant. You're looking for them, folks. And if you get sharp enough eyes because you put the Word of God in your heart, you'll recognize them. You know, they're like the Shulamite who run after her Lord in Song of Solomon. And all the queens and concubines, you know, who were also the women of Solomon.
Yeah.
But they were sectarian groups of these women of Solomon. They wondered, why is this Shulamite, which means perfect one, why is she so fanatical about running after her Lord? Mm-hmm. And what's her Lord more than our Lord? They said, you know, hey, folks, that's the whole problem. That's the whole problem. I mean, the fanatics out there that are running after Jesus with all their heart, and they recognize the truth when they see it, these are the ones that God's coming for. Listen to this. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Do you know who's going to heaven? Jesus Christ. That's the one that's going to heaven. Don't be deceived. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's not coming for you. Flesh and blood will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's only Christ in you. And if you have not borne the fruit of Christ 30, 60, or 100-fold, as Jesus said, you ain't a-going. Put this plain language. You're just not going.
Yeah.
He don't want you there. You would pollute the place.
Well, it's like he says, you know, these people will say, well, you know, I fed the poor in your name, I clothed them,
mm-hmm.
I did this, I did that, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. And he'll say, well, I don't know you. Who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, this has been wonderful. Very enlightening, and I hope we will do more. David, please give people your website information, because you also have an e-book that is available for people. You also have many, many audio files on your website that are free. Am I correct?
Everything on our site's free. Everything we send out is free, and you're welcome to the e-books. You can read them right there on the site, or you can get them, and they'll send them to you. They don't charge anything. I mean, the Lord blesses us. You know, the Bible says, "Give, and it'll be given unto you. Freely you have received, freely give." We've always done that. I've always done that in my ministry. I've never even taken an offering. That's an oxymoron, you know, taking an offering. Think about it.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if you give, it'll be given unto you. And that's what we do. I've always done it that way, and it works really wonderful. It's great to see God multiply it back so that he gets the credit. And well, man's methods don't.
People can find you at americaslastdays.com.
That's right, americaslastdays.com.
And you are also involved in broadcasting, correct?
Right. We broadcast actually three programs a week. We broadcast two programs that are like 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And one program is 1 hour.
Okay.
And if you go to our site, you can see where the programs are being broadcast and so on and so forth. We actually have a Bible study online. Pal Talk people join us. A Pal Talk room joins us. People buy shortwave, AM, FM, satellite, internet, radio. They all join us too. And actually, we got people from around the world joining our online Bible study. It's been a very fruitful thing, and I'm excited to see what the Lord's doing. It's a very different church, if you want to call it that. It's a very different assembly, you know, different kind of a thing, and people are joining us from all over. And you know what? Let me tell you something. After a while, the people that come there that don't love the truth, they don't stick around because they don't like what we say.
Sure.
So we got, I think, a really great bunch of people that's coming there. Because if you can stand what I teach out of the Word is actually meant to drive the wicked away. You understand that, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
And if you teach enough of the Word, it will drive the wicked out of your assembly, and what you'll have there is a holy people, because they're the only people that can stand the Word of God, the real Word of God. Not the watered-down apostate garbage you get in the churches, you know?
Yeah, the airy-fairy stuff.
So anyway, you can go on our site. There are people spend days and days and days and months in our site listening to audio teachings and things. And we've got videos in there that are audios with slides. But also, Pastor Bob from Spirit One TV is fixing us up with internet television so that we can play our videos for people.
That's
real nice.
That's really wonderful.
Yeah, we have we are building some broadcasting stations that are going to just really reach out to multitudes of people.
That's
great. We're looking for a tremendous move of God in the future. God has promised us. We get 500,000 hits on our site a year,
mm-hmm.
and it's constantly growing. The Lord has told us recently that it's going to be tenfold very quickly. And I know what that means, because great judgment is about to come upon the world, and people are going to run for shelter. They're going to be running for something that will sustain them.
Exactly.
And I praise God for it. Well, you want to escape the tribulation? Well, I don't. I want to see the people of God that we've been praying, the people that we've been praying for, to come into the kingdom. And that's not going to happen without tribulation.
That's right.
Prosperity always causes a great falling away. Tribulation always brings multitude of devoted disciples of Christ.
Well said. Amen to that. My
Amen.
Gosh. David, thank you so much for coming on the Bite Show. And I hope that you and I can do some more audios. There's just like 40 million questions I have that I want to ask you. So if you would be agreeable to that, it sure would be great.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. And folks, go to David's website. It is americaslastdays.com. And like he said, you can spend days and days in his website. It's great. And God bless you, David, and God bless all who hear this file, and we hope it will touch people's hearts, and that they will open their heart to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes. So this is George N. Hughes with David Ells, and we are signing off. God bless you all. Good night, folks.